Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. The election period is usually referred to as the silly season. We've truly encountered ours. But it couldn't be sillier than when parliamentary leader of the opposition, the Democratic Alliance, wrote a letter to the leaders of the G7 countries, the European Union, and four Nordic countries asking them to, wait for it, come and monitor our national and provincial elections scheduled for May 29 this year. Basically, this letter was sent to everyone but the BRICS countries and the African Union. No surprises there. The DA has never been a fan of those in the majority. But that is not the point. And also, why the G7 countries, really? I mean, who listens to France anymore? This is the same country that has a former president, Nicolas Sarkozy, sent to jail for corruption. I mean, really. Or the US, currently governed by a man who's not even aware that he is in office and about to be ruled by a retainee who thinks climate change is a joke. And since Silvio Berlusconi died, there is nothing to remember Italy for. I mean, nothing. I'm not sure why even that country is considered ahead of Iceland in the G7. At least the Germans and the Japanese still supply us with cars. But then again, it explains the DA. They are fast becoming a former super force to be reckoned with. It is tried that the DA has left many unhappy with this stunt. It was to be expected for the ANC to froth at the mouth about it. Party and country president Cyril Ramaphosa called the DA's gimmick, quote, almost trying to mortgage our country to other powers in the world, close quote. Ramaphosa said the ANC and South Africa would not allow its sovereignty to be handed over on a silver platter, quote and unquote, to Western powers. I agree with President Ramaphosa. We actually prefer to hand ourselves over in any color platter to, say, a family in India. Even the always calm and sober Independent Electoral Commission was nonplussed with a desperate alliance. The IEC told the DA that it does not understand how elections work. That's an ouch, if ever there was one. But the DA's nose got even bloodier when the US Embassy rejected their comic strip and gave a huge vote of confidence to the IEC. The US Embassy said, and I quote, South Africa is a sovereign democracy that runs its own electoral processes. The Independent Electoral Commission has a long-standing and excellent reputation for conducting free and fair elections, close quote. This is why the DA is opposed to affirmative action and BEE. That US ambassador to South Africa surely was not appointed on merit. What does he know after all? By the way, even AZAPO, the Azanian People's Organization, was raised from the dead. AZAPO's spokesperson, Jabu Rakwena, said the DA was showing what he called its neoliberal colors that the late Steve Biko had warned black South Africans about. Biko should also have warned us about peacetime revolutionaries. But the sternest dismissal of the DA came from Jacob Zuma's MK party, which called the move treasonous, warning the DA to withdraw.
Yes, yes.
So now that we know that the DA had a flatulence with that moment, let us go through their letter and step by step explain the issues they're trying to raise. But before we get there, I have a disclaimer. I did not invite the DA to answer for itself. Not that I do not believe in the principle of let the other side be heard, audi alteram partem. The DA has a rule not to speak with the media. It speaks to the media. Unless, of course, you are something called Gabe McKean Podcast with 165 subscribers, or Alec Hogg of Biz News, who seems to be their preferred medium. The controversial letter, therefore, starts by saying that the DA, quote, sharpens its appeal to the international community in helping to ensure the integrity of the coming elections. This is a typical Dipasenjan Tuseng scenario. Like this driver that clearly has done wrong by the law and is now asking his passengers to intervene and save him from the police. The DA is, in my view, asking the international community to interfere in helping them out of their conundrum, which is that they know they're not going to win these elections. The letter continues, quote, for the first time in democratic South Africa, the ruling African National Congress may receive below 50% of the national vote, close quote. So, what's the problem? I would have thought that the DA would be happy with this prospect. Is it perhaps because it knows that the votes the ANC will lose are most unlikely to go to the DA? Even if that's not the case, how is this the problem of the G7 and the EU? Or is it what the DA mistakes as cultural mobilization? It gets more ridiculous. The DA laments the formation of the MK party and the likelihood that it will gain significant support, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, and that such a result, quote, may have concomitant implications at the national level, close quote. Listen, I'm not a political reporter or even analyst, but what exactly is the DA asking its friends in the North and the West to do with the MK party? Stop it from participating? Arrest former President Zuma? What has Zuma indeed done? The DA further says, in exaggeration of itself, that as an organization that is invested in the political values of freedom, tolerance, peace, and democracy, they must do everything in their power to stem the, quote again, rising tides of populism, fanatism, oppression, and tyranny. Say what? If you value tolerance, why are you intolerant to a party that is contesting elections just like you? You remind me of my favorite quote from the late broadcaster Xolani Gwala. I will not tolerate intolerance here. Whose fault is it, DA, that others are more popular and seem to attract more fans than you? As for oppression and tyranny, where exactly? Which South Africa are you living in? But then again, this does not come as a surprise for a party whose leader went to the Ukraine on a fact-finding mission of a war that had nothing to do with him, only to send us Photoshop videos.
This is 10 million reasons why we've got to end this conflict. Russia has to be pushed back by the international community, and it's not a situation that any country in the world can simply be agnostic about.
Only on page 2 of this dreadful letter does the DA come to the real gist of their gripe. Quote, we are witnessing an increasing willingness by the ANC to forge alliances with malign international actors whose regimes are characterized by tyranny, terror, and oppression, close quote. Shame on the DA. Why are you not brave enough to name those you regard as tyrants and terrorists? Is it difficult to write or spell Russia and Hamas? We all know that is what you mean in your attempt to say, my enemy's enemy is my friend. I'm not sure that the DA is top of the list of people the West is trying to befriend anyway. In the words that your own leader once said about the Speaker of the National Assembly, I think the DA must be called out.
You are being as dishonest today to this parliament like you lied about George's salary. You are dishonest. You're a liar. You do not follow the rules of parliament.
Methinks the DA is smarting that the ANC seems to be gravitating towards other opposition parties, while the parties the DA tried to woo into its so-called moonshot pact are not making any significant moves in the polls. When the DA made it clear that it would never work with the economic freedom fighters, it tried to hint that it would not mind hobnobbing with the ANC. But this did not seem to catch any fire.
I have no interest in working with the ANC. I've made it very clear that I want to work with opposition parties to be able to put together a compelling alternative for South Africa. That is the first prize. But I will also do everything in my power. And I think our voters would expect it. I think the economy would expect it from us. And I think anyone who looks at politics maturely would expect from us to make sure that the EFF do not get into the union buildings, either through the front door or through the back door.
If the girl does not like you, there is no honor in calling her names afterwards. Far from it us being confused with this, let us face it. We have become accustomed to the DA's confusing messages. They flip more than a newspaper in the wind. I mean, take this mishmash by Steenhuisen when he recently addressed why the DA is failing to manage crime in the Western Cape.
If you localize policing, it's more effective. Having a national police plan and trying to shoehorn it is like trying to put a square peg into a round hole. Rather let policing happen from the local level up because people understand the dynamics. Secondly, drugs are a big driver of the violence there and the gangs there. And that requires national intervention. You require intelligence-driven operations to get to the bottom of it.
What is it exactly, John Vuligate? Is it local competency or a national duty? Politics is hard, folks. As they say, it is not for sissies. But even in desperate times, this has to be the lowest of the low for the DA. So I hope, rightfully, the G7, EU and Nordic countries, and even people that care for the truth, will once again tell the DA in the words of President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Shut up, you Steenhuisen, and listen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast and please share your views about why John must vuligate very fast. Download my Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcast. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. From me, Rams Mabote, far from the G7. Goodbye and God bless.